It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeeze him by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
JT, out of the gate as we get going, first day in Costa Mesa, and I'm ready to roll after a five-hour drive through the desert starting at 5:30 this morning. I am on the ground ready for training camp, and I hope you are, as we're getting ready to take you live to Antonio Pierce's first press conference. It's coming up here momentarily. We will take that live as camp opens up, and practice will get going tomorrow, and we'll cover it top to bottom with our in-depth team coverage here on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio. I'm with Q. Saw Q earlier today. We have our setup. Tomorrow we'll be over at the facility there where practice will be. And good to get out here kind of on time, a day early, and roll through and drive through and leave Vegas and get out here. So we're going to have good shows. We're excited about what's in front of us here, and we can't wait for you to be a part of it. We're also in our countdown, my list of the top 10 Raider games of all time. We're at number 9 today, and I think you're going to enjoy the pick. If you looked at my Twitter, my X, you'll get a chance to see that ahead of time. No YouTube live stream today, as we just got here in time, and Q set me up, and we're ready to roll. Q is over at the field where they're going to interview Antonio Pierce coming up here momentarily, and we will take you live to that. So I got a lot to say today, but Bob may want to time this out so we can get Antonio Pierce when he is ready, and he'll be ready to go here in a few moments. And then after that, this is one of his most important press conferences. It really is. I mean, games are important. Playoffs are everything. We know how all this works. But what will be key is this is his opportunity for his first press conference as the head coach starting off the season for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think that is very appropriate. He's a Southern California guy. As you know, he gets an opportunity to take control of this team as a head coach and give it a start from camp throughout the regular season. We're going to focus on camp for obvious reasons and get into the preseason and go from there. And there's going to be probably some surprises. There's going to be some highs, some lows, and we'll be here for all of it. Vinny Bonsignore also. And then there's a couple of the great insiders that you're familiar with on my show and their work, and we'll be able to hear from them also. So I'm excited. This will be my 27th year. I'll start it tomorrow, not today, when we're out there and we're watching practice and we get a chance to see this. But you know me, I'm always optimistic about you, the Raider Nation, and your opportunity to win and the opportunity to be optimistic at the start of the year and get into this thing and hopefully have a better year than expected. That will be the theme of this preseason, to have a better season than most of the media expects. And we've been waiting a long time for the Raiders. The Raiders have had 2-0 starts. The Raiders have had quick starts to seasons. The Raiders have been out of the gate quickly at times. We want that to be the case this year. And I am putting a high priority on this camp. I am putting a high priority. Now, the coaches are always, we're going to have Antonio Pierce in under 5 minutes, so keep it here to the flagship. But all the coaches and players, they all want to win every game. They want to win every game, go undefeated, and win the Super Bowl. Every team says that. The Raiders are in a different situation now. The Raiders have to find a way to stabilize the head coaching position. As you know, with John Gruden, into Rich Bisaccia, into Josh McDaniels, into Antonio Pierce, we've had a short run here in Vegas, and there's been a lot of turnover at the head coaching position. This has got to be the beginning of the stability of that position, and hopefully Antonio Pierce is the right guy at the right time. We got a good look at it last year, And I think everybody was impressed. Don't take it from me. Take it from the national media and everybody. Everybody was very impressed with the way he had the team ready to play. There was never an issue with the energy and the passion of the Las Vegas Raiders when they took the field at home or on the road, including Christmas in Kansas City. It's tough to bottle up that type of energy and move it from week to week, but the Raiders have to try to do that. They have to try to find a way to put themselves in a position where they could come out with momentum and start this season at a fast pace with the fan base in Las Vegas as the team starts off on the road against the Harbaugh brothers. This is not a Herculean task, but it's a difficult task for this team. They have to play their best football early in the season. Raider Nation and Raider fans don't want to see a gradual improvement. We've been waiting for that improvement for quite some time. Raider fans want this regime to get it right, figure it out, get the personnel, the draft picks, and the free agents together, and hit the ground running. That's my expectation with this unit. I like the way they finished last year. It finished on a high note. Other than the shutout Minnesota game, everything down the stretch was pretty buttoned up and very good. From the production of the offense, the way the defense vastly improved and became one of the better defenses in football, and the fact that they led the league down the stretch with the least amount of penalties. All that says to me that this team ended last season, and they didn't make the playoffs, so you can't say it was a successful season, but they did end the season on the right track. They did end the season with a vision for what they want to do coming into this 2024 season. And that's what we're going to do. Today, ladies and gentlemen, starts a journey. I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know how it's going to end. I'm not in the business of predicting games. I just run a really fast-paced sports talk show, and I promise to do that here. I will guide you through these 2 hours every day to the best of my ability. I will give you everything I have on game day, pre- and post-game, and I'll make sure I'm available to you with this radio show for you to sound off like you got a pair. That's it. So start today with me. Let's get some Raider fans who are ready to roll with my level of energy, who are optimistic about the start of the year and want to get the Raider conversation going. As I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks, it's been a very quiet offseason. Very quiet. I embrace that. I like quiet offseasons. The season's opening up now in Green Bay, where Jordan Love is not going to practice until he gets a contract. The Jets are a mess right now, even though they have a very good team and an upgraded roster. Two of the best wide receivers in the league are on the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're not happy with their contract status. You've been listening to any Cowboy talk? Cowboy fans are furious about Jerry Jones and the state of that team going forward. We are in the division, us season ticket holders and the Raider Nation, going up against two teams that we're better than. Fact, not fiction, the Chargers and the Denver Broncos. We beat the Broncos the last 8 times in a row, and the Chargers are coming off 5 wins. The Raiders beat Kansas City and got a split against the world champs last year. So with all of that, there's some good out there. There's some optimism overall that we can build on. But there's a lot of pressure on this organization to win. My number one goal this year is obviously for the Raiders to win as many games as possible. My number two goal nationally is to stop Kansas City at all cost. That's it. Raiders win as much as they can. I'm not talking Super Bowl. I'd like to see them make the playoffs. Who wouldn't? But my big goal is stopping Kansas City's dynasty from becoming the first three-peat team of all time, and they will have the title of the greatest football team in the history of the NFL if they have a three-peat. They're in our division. We can't let that happen. So there's a lot going on, and I think it's going to make for some entertaining radio shows, some entertaining television shows that I'll be hosting for the Raiders. The preseason should be a lot of fun, and I think the regular season, hey, we're going to be on the edge of our seat. I'm not on the edge of my seat today. I was when I was driving out here. Let me tell you something. I lived out here in Southern California for 18 years, 8 of them in San Diego, 10 in Los Angeles. When I came through the grapevine today and I came down that long hill highway to come into Palmdale and lower Los Angeles, Southern California. I felt like I was a NASCAR driver. 18-wheel tractor trailer crashes. Cars going by me at 100 miles an hour. Cops everywhere. I said, man, slap my face. I literally did. I said, wake up. You're in Southern California, man. Keep your head on a swivel. But I enjoyed it today. I had a lot of time to think about what I want to do with my life this year with the Raiders and how we're going to put the show together. So that's where we're at, is I want to try to make sure we get Antonio Pierce in the monologue. Just got a text that it'll be in the next 3 to 4 minutes, if not sooner. So the Raiders, this is a big deal as the Raiders move their practice out here to Southern California. A lot of work. A lot of people behind the scenes. A lot of people working their tail off to get this thing right. All for the benefit of the players to have an opportunity to have an advantage to compete, have an advantage to go out there and focus. And this is all about camaraderie, about this team being together as long as they can until they come back to Las Vegas for the two open practices. And we get ready for what will be a really good preseason schedule. At Minnesota, and then Dallas and the 49ers? Man, that is an A-list schedule. The rest of the schedule, I don't love the schedule. I told you about that when it came out. I'm pretty upset about the schedule. The two openers on the road, we're opening up. The home opener for Baltimore. The home opener for Jim Harbaugh. They didn't do us any favors with that. We get for a home opener Carolina, the worst team in football. But you know they're going to be improved. And then they didn't give us much when it comes to prime time until the end of the year where they give us Atlanta at home. And there's not much of a rivalry there. Obviously, Good Friday at Kansas City is a pretty big game for obvious reasons there. And then the rest of the schedule is pretty tough because the Raiders play the AFC North. And when you have to play Cleveland and Cincinnati and you have to go to Baltimore, that is not easy. We have road trips in Miami, at Tampa, and New Orleans. So if you're a road tripper with the Raiders, as we mentioned the fans yesterday, as they were previewed with the season tickets that came out, if you're a fan of the road trips, you got some good road trips this year. I mean, you got to think about the road trips because there's a bunch of them, a bunch of really good ones that are coming up here. And I'm excited about that too, because whenever the Raiders go on the road, they have one of the most vast and vibrant fan bases in all of professional sports. So on the ground here in Southern California, excited to be here, and I'll be here through Friday, and then next week I'll be back here again for another Tuesday or Wednesday to the weekend, and then I'll be back the following week to do it again here before we fly out to Minneapolis for the first preseason game, where I'll be on the radio call with the great Lincoln Kennedy and Eric Allen as Jason Horowitz moves up to TV with Matt Millen, and what a job by Rich Gannon. The alumni will have an alumni weekend during the preseason, which will be amazing. Back in Vegas, where there's so many alumni coming out, that's also great, as we'll have a great opportunity to meet the alumni in the preseason. Also coming up in a little bit, Jeff Sherman will join us from over at the Westgate. We're going to preview some of the season win totals in the NFL as we open up this show. I don't move Jeff Sherman. No matter what happens, Jeff Sherman stays in his every other Tuesday slot because I want to give the show a bit of a gambling perspective from the VP of Risk Management. And then I moved out all the other guests this week because I'm hoping that we get some players and some coaches on, obviously, because that's why we made the trip. And we're looking forward to that out there. There's a lot of news with the Olympics and the Olympics opening up. USA basketball, LeBron James as elite play. Along the way so far is really unique. We're watching one of the greatest runs of a great player on the back end of his career at the level that he's playing at. It truly is incredible what's going to happen there. And there's some other NFL news out there. The biggest one, as I mentioned earlier, is Hassan Reddick did not report to training camp for the New York Jets over his deal. And that's a big deal because it's hard to make Hassan Reddick, you know, the bad guy here when Aaron Rodgers missed a couple of days to go to Egypt. So 4 months ago, the Jets talked about how important it was to get Hassan Reddick, the Pro Bowl edge rusher, the marquee defensive addition to this team here. The Jets reported to training camp today without Reddick, who's holding out for a new contract. His hardline stance will cost him, ready for this, $50,000 per day. That is the mandatory fine under the collective bargaining agreement. $50,000 a day. I don't care how rich you are, if you're a movie star, if you're a tech CEO, $50,000 a day is a lot of money. And by rule, the fine can't be waived. Reddick, entering the final year of a three-year, $45 million contract, is due to make a non-guaranteed $14.25 million in base plus another $500,000 with incentives. The Jets inherited that contract from the Eagles, who traded him late March for a 2026 conditional third-round pick. You know, the Jets tried to sign him to an extension at the time of the trade, and they're still open to it, but they will not negotiate with a player not in camp, according to Adam Schefter and ESPN. This is a big story because of the amount of money that he's given up. Back in the day, if a player didn't report, he was getting fined. Finally, they report, they forget about the fine, and they move on from there. So that's probably, other than what we're doing locally and nationally with the Raiders, that's the big storyline. Also, the 49ers fully intend for Brandon Ayuk to remain with the team, even though it's not a done deal that he's going to get the contract at the number he wants. John Lynch told reporters earlier today, "We fully intend on Brandon being a Niner," adding that the 49ers expect him to be an integral part of the team as he has been in the past. So those are some of the big storylines as we open up the show. If you want to get in, 702-365-9200. Let me get Jorge in San Jose to start off the show. Thanks for being our first caller on the road, Jorge. We appreciate it. What do you got?
You got it, JT. Yeah, just, you know, getting in that training camp mindset. Looking forward to hearing Coach Antonio Pierce come on in. And, you know, I'm hoping that the players really take advantage of this moment. And in particular, I'm going to be paying attention to the offense, JT. You know, Luke Getsy is in a very unique position now that the Raiders have moved to Las Vegas, where they're going to be starting training camp in Costa Mesa, you know, in a different environment. And, you know, the coach is going to set the tone. And, you know, I really need this offense to be clicking, JT. I know you do too. Devontae's been talking about it on all platforms, just that it needs to look good. It didn't look right the last few seasons. And, you know, I'm really pumped. You know, I know this defense is ready to go at it, with full force on this offense. So they better get it right. They better learn quick, because the defense already has a step ahead of the offense. And that's not a knock on the offense. It's just what it is, and you know, I'm really excited. I'm also excited to hear what the next games are going to be for this countdown, and just looking forward for more content here. So, you know, appreciate you taking my call. I'm really pumped, and you know, go Raiders.
Yep, appreciate the call. So we're waiting on the coach here, and we'll get to that on the other side. So here's what we're going to do. I have the ninth greatest game of all time, according to me, and a select group of people who helped me put this together, and that would be the January 9th, 2022 game, as the Raiders won at home in Las Vegas to enter the playoffs, and they eliminated the Chargers from the postseason. One of the greatest and most important games in NFL history. It was the final game of the year, the last game of the year in the entire NFL, and the Raiders advanced, and they took out the Chargers and ruined the Chargers. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But what I'd like to do today is concentrate on that game. We got good sound from it. We'll relive your memories from that game, and then we'll dive into what Antonio Pierce said. So I'm going to get out now and come back on the other side. We'll have Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders from Costa Mesa, his first comments of the year. We'll hear what he has to say, and we'll give that to you in its entirety. And I hope he speaks for a while, because I want to hear what he has to say. We thank our proud partners, PTs. They fuel the monologue, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. And we thank them as their proud partner, one of our proud partners, as we kick off our coverage from Raiders training camp.
The thing that I think people don't understand is that when I was in the NFC North and playing for that team, years ago, there used to be a real thing called mini camp, where it was You had one of them usually. Sometimes it's right after the draft, but either way, it was five practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So two practices on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. Now it's not mini camp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want. So yeah. This is the mini camp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks. But it was an OTA schedule. That's how it's, you know, how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a mini camp when it was really two OTA days.
Right.
Interesting.
That came to the first 10.
That is Aaron Rodgers. And I'll tell you, what he says fascinates me. He plays by his own rules. He says whatever he wants. He doesn't believe in the history of training camp. And we are live from training camp in Southern California. And we're brought to you by Resorts World. Kevin Hart and his global entertainment company, Heartbeat, announced the return of Heartbeat Weekend, Thursday, August 29th to Sunday, September 1st. It's a four-day celebration of music, comedy, and entertainment, headlined by Kevin Hart, Lil Wayne, and Ludacris, with more special guests to be announced. It all takes place at Resorts World Las Vegas. That's Thursday, August 29th to Sunday, September 1st. Get your tickets at rwlasvegas.com. Resorts World, proud partner of training camp here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. So we are finding out that Antonio Pierce is about to address the media. I just got the alert on that. Let's go live to the head coach of the Silver and
every
Black.
Position, but specifically about the quarterback, what they're going to be battling with no joint practices, and you never know what you're playing in the preseason games. Does it just make practice even that much more vital?
Well, I think more importantly, I think when we look at our team, we feel really good about our defense. And I think when you do have competition, you're going against one another, that's a great opportunity to showcase. So regardless of the joint practices, the preseason games don't take care of themselves, but we got 16 or so practices for these guys to go at it and compete like they've been doing all spring and let the best man win.
Do you have like an ideal time frame for you on when you want to make that decision on the quarterback?
When it's right, when it's obvious, like, okay, it's like a no-brainer. No need to rush it. I mean, but when it's clear and it's evident, then we need to make that decision and move forward.
Talk about Aiden, how he's got some more swagger this year. What have you seen from Gardner so far, and what does he have to show you to kind of get the job?
Yeah, I mean, both guys got a little swag now. That's kind of cool, right? Aiden had so much last year, but he's kind of picked it up. But Gardner, just his personality is so unique, so free-spirited, but more importantly, a great teammate. He loves to compete. His attitude, his purpose, each and every rep that he takes, you can see that there's a driven player there that's always been an underdog. And that's a good thing for the Raiders because that carries over to the rest of our team and guys feed off of it.
For lack of a better term, hey, Antonio, what's the standing board look like right now in that quarterback race?
Where it was when we left spring.
So are they even? Somebody taking the lead?
We got some more practices to go at it, to be honest with you. You know, I don't think it's fair to do it. I mean, the offseason, there's not pads on. I mean, O-line, D-line, you know, the way that's working out with protection, it's different when we get the pads on. You think you get a better feel for it overall. And then also guys just getting to the system right away, you know, in the spring, learning it. So there could be some days where, you know, Aiden looked better than Gardner. There's some days Gardner, and then there's some days they both look bad. So they both look good, to be honest. So I think, you know, it'll take its course while we're here in Southern California.
When you do go to make that decision, how much will they're kind of standing in the league? Gardner's been around with no commodity. Aiden really kind of young, don't really know what he has. Like, how much is that playing to thinking about who's the starter?
Zero. Best player for help the Raiders win games is all that matters.
AP, I know that you're the coach. You're going to make the decision. But how much will you listen to Luke or your captains? Or is this going to be your gut telling you?
I think myself, Telesco, and Luke Getsy will be the main guys there making that decision.
Early in the spring, what did you see from your defense that you really liked? And how confident are you that they're going to elevate the play of the offense as well throughout training camp?
Yeah, just how comfortable they are with the system now. Year three with Patrick Graham, the communication, the continuity, the ability to play with one another, feel one another. I mean, it was a really, really good spring for our defense. They were gelling well. Add Christian in there, it was like he was with us the last couple years. So they got to keep picking it up. It is the strength of our team. I mean, there's no need to lie about it. I mean, they're really good, and then they got to be good this year.
As you go through training camp here, are you looking for a slow build as you work towards
week one? There's nothing slow about what we're doing. We're hitting the field running.
What do
you looking to get out of these 2 weeks here in Costa Mesa?
Bonding, competition, physicality, creating the Raider identity, and then really putting our stamp on what we want to have our play style look like, both on offense, defense, and special teams.
I think that it's safe to say that physicality is something that you want to hang your hat on and be, you know, part of your identity. How anxious are you or excited are you to get the pads on? I know it's a few days away, but to start setting that tone.
Yeah, I just think it's time. Our guys are eager. You know, there's a lot of burn and desire in our players that want to just get out there and play. You know, we got a couple days here where we can't do it, so we got to slow them down a little bit. But come next Tuesday, it's full throttle. We'll scrimmage. We'll go live. We'll tackle. We'll do all the good stuff to really get some competition to get a good feel for our team.
Along those lines, what's the message to the team that you sent on the way, you know, arriving here, knowing that you've been there, done that a bunch of times as a player?
I haven't told them that yet, so we'll discuss that this afternoon. But the key thing is, you know, when you go to training camp and you go away, it's the brotherhood. You know, it's us against the world. The good thing about it, we can't have fans here, right? So it's we're going to have to entertain one another. And sometimes that's a good thing. You know, when you're in training camp at home, you get to run to mom and dad and the family and the kids and the wife. Well, when they get to that hotel, it's each other. It's one another. So same thing for the coaches. I think it's going to be really critical for our team to become the tightest unit possible. It's all peaches and cream right now, right? Sun's bright. There's going to be some dark moments and some dark days. And we're going to have to be ready to go through some adversity together.
From Southern California, being here, being a Raiders, Raiders fan, what does it mean to you?
I love it. 30 miles from where I grew up, I landed. When the plane hit the tarmac, I smiled. It felt good to be, for me, home. I'm excited. I'm excited for our players to be here and have a great opportunity to enjoy some nice weather and get away for a little bit, for 17 days until we go back to Vegas.
Do you anticipate all 90 being cleared to play? Any health issues at all coming into?
As of now, I do. I mean, those guys, when we left a little early so we can come and check out the field. So we'll have that answer probably a little bit later.
Hey, Pete, the last couple of years, you guys didn't really play many starters in preseason games, specifically for the quarterbacks. Do you think that'll be necessary for them to kind of get some live reps for you to make a decision?
I expect all our guys to play in preseason.
AP, talk about the emotion, please, your first training camp as a head coach compared to your first training camp as a player.
Ooh, as a player, I was nervous, throwing up, scared. I was carrying shoulder pads and helmets for all the vets. It's a little different. People hand me water down. People tell me which way to go, so it's a little different. But being a head coach of the Raiders is special. Having my first training camp back in Los Angeles, Southern California area, is really special to a degree for me because it's full. It's full circle, right? I said I grew up watching the Raiders from 82 to 94 in Los Angeles. And be able to have opportunity to bring the organization back here and to do it as a head coach, I'm honored.
Is it fair to say that you're more confident as a head coach than you were as a player and there's no throwing up right now?
I am more confident because as a player, you don't know what to expect, right? You were fighting for your life. Training camp back then was 6 weeks long. It was 2-a-days. You were banging every day. It hurt. You know, now it's a little different. Here, you can really gauge and control the tempo of your players and practice. You know, there might be days we say we got pads on, and if I don't feel like it, we're not going to have pads on. So you control the narrative, obviously, as a head coach, and I'm going to do what's best for the players.
You know, going back, things were flying a million miles a minute when you got the job as the interim coach. But looking back, how important was that ramp was built so that there's no surprises anymore. You're the head coach. They know you. You know them. Yeah. How important is that to start off like that?
Huge. I mean, I know it's like first head coach training camp, but, you know, when you did it 9 weeks in the season in the middle of all hell breaking loose, this is a lot easier, to be honest. But a lot of things that I learned through those 9 weeks of the season really helped prepare me for what's going on today. And then obviously, you know, when I brought in Marvin Lewis, that was really critical for me. Right? There's a lot of things that I've been bounced off of him, along with Tom Telesco, who's been in the NFL for 30 years, to make sure I give us the best opportunity to have the best training camp possible, to put us in position to start fast and to set the tone and identity of what we want this Raider team to look like.
From the players' perspective, just being here in Costa Mesa, has that kind of had an effect on them coming down this way as being out of the heat of Las Vegas and all?
I don't think they talked about it, but we do got a lot of guys from California and Southern California area, so I know they're excited. We'll see what happens when they land here and how they feel with the weather. But when we left, it was 105 or 107? So it was smoking. I think it's 75.3. I'm wearing a hoodie on. It feels nice.
Go back to the health question.
The learning curve of your top rookies. Does that speed up now? Does that learning curve get faster now as camp starts? What have you seen from the learning curve of your top rookies? Does that speed up now?
Well, I think we did a really good job with our personnel department. Telesco, Champ, Brandon, BY, they all did a really good job of evaluating the guys that we drafted, and they all had high football IQ. Brock Bowers right there, Jackson, DJ, all those guys, man. Trey, all high academic guys, but more importantly, high value guys when it came to, you know, taking football serious. I think the good thing about those rookies, you know, we brought them in a little bit earlier, gave them about 48 hours to kind of get adjusted. And yeah, some guys a little bit further and had some good recall, and others like, oh yeah, I need to get back in that playbook. So that's typical as a rookie at this time of year, but I think they understood right away that when we get on the grass tomorrow, you know, the Bullets are really flying and they got to be ready to go.
Going back to the health question, I know generally you didn't have much information yet, but have you talked to Colton Miller and figured out where he is or understand where he is at this point?
I saw him the other day. He looks good. I mean, he's running around. I mean, it's totally different. You know, obviously he had surgery, so we'll see again. Those guys are, you know, getting on the plane and be here shortly, but I really don't have that answer, to be honest.
Tony, I know you're usually big on staying in the moment, but every team has goals, obviously, going into every season. What would you quantify as success this year for the Rams?
That's a really good question. Being consistent, you know. Don't want to go through the roller coaster of the season. We're going to lose games, right? I would love for us to go undefeated. That would be a goal. There's only been one team ever to do it. It's hard to do. But just be a consistent team. Win, lose, or draw, that what you see with the effort, the discipline, the purpose, the all-out, you know, the brotherhood and doing it the right way. I hope we can do that. Sometimes the ball's not going to bounce our way and the clock's only hit zero and we're not winning. We didn't come out victorious. But more importantly, just the way we play. You know, did it sound right? Did it look right? If we could do that, I'll be pleased. But obviously there's goals higher than that that we really want to reach.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Netflix series Receiver, but, you know, Devontae said some things on that show months and months ago. But if you have watched it, is it worth you guys talking about it, or was there anything that you didn't know that was going on at that time? Or
yeah, I mean, I watched pieces of it. But there's nothing to talk about. You know, Devontae signed up for a show. There's things said and shown, and it is what it is. You can't erase it.
Yeah, it's good. When you laid out the schedule for training camp, I mean, that's something we probably haven't done before as a head coach of when do we practice, how do we practice, how are the drills going to go, that sort of thing. Were there challenges that you were kind of interpreting? Or
yeah, I think just because you're not a head coach or haven't been a head coach, you understand how to schedule a practice. You know, you've been in the league, you've watched, you've been a part of it. You played, you know, there's, and then at the end of the day, training camp to the offseason is probably even is more difficult because you don't have your players there. So you can have all these drills, have all these things to do, and if only half your team shows up, you can't do it. Well, for us, we were fortunate everybody showed up. So it was pretty easy to do training camp. But again, you know, like I said, when you got Marvin Lewis in the building and Tom Coughlin on speed dial, it's pretty easy to do a training camp.
Question to that, knowing that you have the support of the players, does that add additional pressure for you as a first-time head coach, or is it something that actually makes it easier and it's kind of like an open door policy?
No, I don't honestly feel any pressure because we're prepared, we're ready. We have a very stern agenda of what we're going to get done here over the next 17 days. I don't feel any pressure at all, and I know our players don't. We don't play that way. I'm not coaching that way. I'm not allowing our coaches to coach that way. We're going to play the game the way I was taught to play it. That's to have fun, be physical, enjoy doing it and doing it with one another, and let the chips fall where they fall.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Thanks, everyone. Okay.
All right. There it is. That's the first one for Antonio Pierce. You just heard it here on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. We want to get your live reaction to that right now. That's what we're looking to do from everyone in the Raider Nation. The coach, as the head coach, starting off his first training camp as a head coach in the NFL. I had some notes here that I heard from this, and look, he got peppered early on with the quarterback questions, which is going to be something to get used to. That's it. That's what this training camp is about. This training camp is about deciding who will be the quarterback, the most important position in any organization. And there was 6-7 questions plus follow-ups here on what's going to happen going forward. He wants to see these quarterbacks, both of them, compete with a live offensive line going up against the defense in pads to get an opportunity. He said some days they're both going to be bad, other days one will be better than the other. He'll put this together. It'll be his decision along with Luke Getsky and Tom Telesco, which sounds about right to me. Tom Telesco is the general manager of the team, the offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, and the head coach Antonio Pierce. let it be clear that this is a quarterback battle. As of today, it's not a quarterback controversy. They haven't started camp yet at practice. We'll see what happens. One could be much better than the other. It could be close. He also said that he expects everybody to play in the preseason. God, the hair on my arms stood up when he said that. That's about time around here that we see everybody play in the preseason. Very excited about that. He didn't tell you how much time they're going to play, but the fact is, and another good question was, you know, to start off slow, and he stopped the question and said, no, we're not building and starting off slow. We're starting off fast. I thought that was a very important soundbite. Set the tone early that this team is going to prepare. This team's going to be ready to go. And it is going to be a spirited training camp in Costa Mesa, California. He's excited to be here from his youth growing up in this community, talking about the players who are from Southern California, how they're going to like it here. He addressed Colton Miller, said he looks good, but he's got to see him out on the field there. And other than that, it was very important for Antonio Pierce to make it clear to the media, and this is mostly the media, the beat writers who cover the Raiders on a daily basis, that he's ready to roll, that they're excited. A couple of the questions he's going to get back to him on in regards to the overall health of the roster looks pretty healthy, in a really good position coming into training camp, so I think Raider fans should be pretty happy about that. And now I can finally open up the phones and start football season. Now, I'm not going to participate in a quarterback controversy, but I'm not going to tell you that you can't call in on the quarterbacks. There's no need for me to be out here in Costa Mesa if we're not talking about the quarterbacks. But there's nothing yet to really dive into on that topic. It's going to have to develop here over, you know, 14, 15, 16 practices. So who's going to jump in first after that? What Raider fans are excited? The head coach, no longer the interim coach, the head coach, Antonio Pierce, spoke for the first time as the Raiders kick off training camp. 702-365-9200. Let's get after it as training camp is here.
Put in the work, keep, you know, extending the goal a little bit each day. You know, I know all the guys talk about 1% each day. That's what we got to do. Just put in the work, keep pushing that line forward a little bit more, and we'll see how the chips fall. But that's the most important thing. And thankfully, we have a bunch of guys on the team who are high achievers. I like to think of myself as someone that wants to achieve high goals, and we set those goals and we do what we got to do to try to accomplish them.
JT back with you, broadcasting from Costa Mesa on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. You just heard from Antonio Pierce. That is the official start of football operations for the Silver and Black. So it's not for me total go time. Okay, I'm not in my regular season form. Charger week when it starts is going to be insane in a good way on this show. But today's a first for head coach Antonio Pierce, and we want to hear from some fans of the Raider Nation and your reaction to what he had to say. Most importantly, about the quarterback situation. You know, there wasn't a deep dive into Max Crosby. We know what to expect from Max or Christian Wilkins. He did get into Devontae a little bit. Vinny Bonsignore, our teammate, asked him a specific question about the Netflix documentary and Devontae, and there wasn't much there. There's not much to dive into there. We've been saying that for over a week, almost close to 2 weeks since Netflix debuted that series there. But I think he sounds really excited. You got to understand this is the big moment for him to fly on a charter with the team, to be the head coach, to represent this team globally, and to have a fresh start to do it on his own. Imagine what Antonio Pierce went through yesterday with the last year with the former regime, where his voice was only as linebacker coach, right? Reporting to Patrick Graham on the defensive side of the football. You just heard Patrick Graham coming out of that. And Patrick Graham, very optimistic. I think he's going to be a head coach in this league pretty quickly here. We saw that down the stretch. If this defense continues to improve, I think that Patrick Graham is going to be on a short list with an opportunity to jump in and be in a spot to be a head coach and be a really good head coach. He mentioned the other individuals who surround him. He's got a good staff. I think this is a really good coaching staff. But a lot of people and Raider fans' eyes are on Luke Getsy trying to get this offense off the ground quickly. 702-365-9200. And at the top of the hour, we'll get to the greatest games. We're at number 9, Raiders-Chargers, where the Raiders eliminated the Chargers at Allegiant Stadium. It was January 9th, 2022. That'll be the top of the hour monologue when we come back, and we'll mix your phone calls in. Sawed Off in San Diego, you're up next. Thanks for calling from training camp. What's happening?
Hey, JT, what's up, man? Hope you can hear me out there good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so I was calling because I'm excited about this new team, the new regime. You know, it's formal now where he's the head coach, but I'm most excited about the tight end. I want these tight ends. I want to see them flaring out into the flats. I want to see them cross, peeling off those linebackers off the line of scrimmage. I want to see them try to stop them because that opens the running game. Zeus is going to go crazy. And if the safeties try to come up in the box and try to cover them as safeties, we're going to go deep. We're going to do Daryl, the LaMonica, the Matt Bomber all the way down the field. We're going to do some Cliff Branch stuff. I can't wait to see this team, man. It's going to be dynamic. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Yeah, a couple of things. It has to be dynamic. This team's got to have some wrinkles to it. Because, unfortunately, last year there weren't a lot of wrinkles in a regime that had a very successful offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels his entire career with the New England Patriots. And we didn't see an offense that had a lot of wrinkles to it. It was very basic and very vanilla. We've seen that. We can't see that again. We need to see an explosive offense that can do multiple things. Now, I had a big conversation today with someone in the Raider organization about what I believe is going to be unique about the 12 personnel and the theory behind a two tight end set, 12 personnel, and what the Raiders are going to be able to do. When you run 12 personnel, you don't have a fullback historically, and you don't have a slot receiver. You go with two wide receivers and two tight ends. That's the strength of this football team. The two wide receivers starting are Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers. The two tight ends are Michael Mayer, and you got a unique one in Brock Bowers. You got a feature running back in Zamir White, who's very big and strong. I don't know what he's going to look like. When I get a chance to see him tomorrow at practice, I'm really going to take a good look at how unique and bigger and stronger he had, because all I just saw were the same pictures that you saw. And I'm going to wonder what he's going to look like going forward. That's going to be very interesting to see. But Brock Bowers is the X factor for this team. Devontae is the best player on offense, no debate. He's a future Hall of Famer, we know that. But Brock Bowers changes everything. Because are you going to line him up at a three-point stance? Are you going to line him up in the slot? Can you put him wide? Can you hand him the ball at the line of scrimmage? Can you throw him the ball behind the line of scrimmage? I know the answer to that question is yes. In all the ways that you can ask that question, he can do everything that you ask him to do because he's the greatest tight end in the history of college football. Two Mackey Awards, two national championships. He is on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest Georgia players of all time. And that's a pretty good list with Richard Seymour and Herschel Walker and all the legends in the NFL players they have. So they're going to have to find a way here in Costa Mesa and back in Henderson on trying to put an offense in place that is not going to be basic 12 personnel where you're running behind two tight ends with a standard running game. This is going to have to be very unique. It's going to have some trickeration. There's going to have to be an element to this which has a surprise to it which we're not aware of. Now, we won't be able to see that every day at practice. We might get a glimpse of a play or two in the preseason, but most likely not. What they're going to work on in private and in film study and in the facility in Vegas or out here in Costa Mesa when the media is not in attendance is going to be the key to this training camp. How are they going to put in explosive plays that other teams can't stop? And they have to have multiple plays because you can't carry Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams on a roster at the same time and not have them both be explosive the entire year. I don't know how explosive Michael Mayer is going to be. I like him a lot. I don't know how many yards Zamir White's going to have this year. I think Jacoby Myers is one of the best two receivers, number two receivers in all of football. I really do. A top 10 at a number two. But I know coming into this season what Devontae could do and what Brock Bowers should be capable of doing. If those two guys have great years where Devontae is really locked in and Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew is finding him on slants, getting him going early, and then Luke Getsy builds something out that is very unique and exciting for Brock Bowers, then this team has a chance. Because the rest of the league does not know what Brock Bowers can do in the NFL because they haven't seen him other than tape at Georgia. Christian Wilkins is my other X factor because I know what Max can do. I've seen what Christian Wilkins can do, but I haven't seen it in a Las Vegas Raiders uniform. So all of this, I know we have the best punter in football, or maybe top two. I know Daniel Carlson's a top five kicker. I know I think we're going to be really good on special teams. The Raiders are going to be very good on special teams because I think they're embracing it already from what I heard, and they like what the personnel they have to play this new scheme of kickoffs and returns. The thing I don't know is how much they're going to run it compared to throwing it. I don't. I think Zamir White is a question mark in a good way. You know, he's big and strong. You got to keep him healthy. You can't wear him out in the preseason. You cannot wear out Zamir White. You can't wear him out. He's got to be fresh. He needs to have fresh legs coming into the regular season. But he's got to get a lot of looks running behind this offensive line. You know, Jackson Powers, JPP, when you look at what this thing could do with Jackson Powers Johnson, and you wonder how good he's going to be at tackle with Dylan Parham, running behind Andre James and Colton Miller and Thayer Mumford, and looking at this team, the offensive line will give the quarterbacks time to get the ball to Bowers and Devontae. Devontae and Bowers. That's what gets me going. Get me going also if you were as excited as me and checked in as I drove 5.5 hours to Costa Mesa. Let's wake this show up. And coming up next, number 9, the top 10 games of all time. Wait till you see and hear the next one.